My name is Marah Khasawne. I'm an LLM student at Loyola University Chicago. The title of my story is Guardian Angel. Poor little thing. She'll probably end up in a psychiatric hospital for the rest of her life. Our neighbor whispered to my grandmother as they sympathetically eyed me during my parents' funeral. I had been sitting in the same seat for over an hour, fidgeting my hands in my lap in an effort to distract myself from the whispering voices around me. "Do you think she's in denial?" asked another. As I began to feel cramps in the back of my neck, I looked up, only to see that in a room full of people, every person was staring at me. I was 11 years old at the time, just starting middle school, and had been living a normal life until August 9, 2009. The day before was just like every other Saturday. My parents took me and my two younger brothers for breakfast at a French bakery nearby our house. We had our usual of fresh chocolate croissants, buttered baguettes, toasties, and omelets on the side. The only thing out of the norm that morning was that my dad seemed very stressed. After breakfast, everyone except my dad went back home. My brothers played on their PlayStation as I sat across from them, doodling on Microsoft Paint. Later that night, my brothers fell asleep in my parents' bed, and I walked lightly to my bedroom. My dad did not return home until after we slept. It was at 4 a.m. when I woke up to a blasting sound which my ears only recognized from movies. I could almost feel our house vibrating. Gunshots. It was gunshots. I could hear my mom struggling to breathe as she screamed, "Please stop." I could not hear anybody else. Realizing that every member of my family was in my parents' bedroom, I reacted without thinking and ran towards the sound, towards their room. My knees were trembling, barely carrying me down the hall. Relief flooded into me when I reached the room and saw my dad standing with a gun in his hand. Whoever got inside our house, he got them. We were safe. At least that is what I thought right before I felt an intolerable pain right above my chest, accompanied by the same blast I heard earlier. I looked down and I felt nauseous as I saw a big circle of blood on my pajama shirt. My mind refused to believe that it was my dad who fired the gun. For 11 years, all I ever saw in my father was kindness, strength, empathy, generosity, and inspiration. But that was not enough to overcome his history of mental illness. I realized that even the strongest people can hit rock bottom, and it could truly destroy them. In my dad's case, it killed him. In a blink of an eye, I had lost everything and every single member of my family, including my dad, who could not take what he had done and decided to take his own life. All I was left with were bullet wounds to remind me of the tragedy. A tragedy that has intertwined with hardship to sculpt the person I am today. My physical recovery was not easy, but it was certainly easier than my emotional one. Right after I recovered, police officers were among my first visitors in the hospital, followed by investigators and eventually nosy media reporters. I was asked to attend court on multiple occasions and stand in front of different panels repeating the same details over and over again. I was the victim, yet I was treated like a witness in a cross-examination. Later after, custody complications started to form. Under Jordanian law, where parents pass away and a child is left behind, custody goes to the maternal grandmother, and guardianship goes to the paternal grandfather. This was the beginning of a series of odd laws under which I was a victim once again. I recall in a statement by Justice John Marshall Harlan, Associate Justice in the U.S. Supreme Court, he expressed, "Our Constitution is colorblind." Similarly in Jordan, the Constitution was also blind. Not colorblind, but entirely blind. Blind to the violations that guardians committed, blind to neglected rights, and blind to the loopholes in laws that gave guardians so much power that they could deprive minors of their legal rights. I had grasped that as much as I would not like to admit it, my judicial system was not always just, but unfortunately in some cases it was corrupt. At 14, I started to look into international family laws, laws regarding minors, guardianship, custody, and everything related. I realized that minors in situations similar to mine not only had guardians, they had a guardian angel looking after them. Looking at these international laws, I discovered a passion for law accompanied by the determination to create a change and grant justice. There is only one path to that end, and I'll walk it along my guardian angel. The same angel as every person seeking a secure safe haven. It is the law.